Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Yes, indeedy. Back for show number 13. It's the Baker's Dozen edition of the Nate Darling Show.
Ooh, donuts.
Larry's back. Hello, Larry.
Hey.
And Mel again is with us.
Hola.
Want to thank from our last show, Jason Casey, for sitting in and keeping Larry's chair warm.
Thank you, Jason. It was a good substitution because my softball team won like 19-8 or 19-7.
What?
And you played a good game personally, so without you, it may have not been as good of a game.
Good point.
Absolutely. And we forgot to do this last time. We had such a good show last time. It was so much fun talking to Sean from Ben and Jerry's and some other stuff that we forgot to mention. That if you're listening to the show, please like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
We would really like that. And if you're getting us on iTunes, if you could go to iTunes and write a review and tell people how awesome we are. And then go tell your friends. Because, you know, the best thing that you can do for a friend is give them something that's really cool that they can enjoy. And if you like our show, then your friend is probably going to like our show as well. Because we have a lot of fun with the stuff.
And then they might tell someone who might tell someone who might tell someone who might tell someone.
And they tell two friends and so on and so on.
If we get 500 likes, I'll give $100 to Habitat for Humanity.
Nice.
Yay.
So that's a challenge.
Yeah, well, that's how we spread the word of the show is people who like us have to tell other friends. I mean, that's kind of how it works. It's a grassroots sort of movement. And we love you and we thank you very much for listening.
We love you.
Very very you much. It's true.
It's like Barney. Is that show still on TV?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I never watched it. So.
Oh, fun show and apologies if we seem a little out of date with the news. We're taping this on September 12th because as this show is released, I am visiting the homeland in Vermont. So, yeah, we're a little bit behind. So today, the news that came out, speaking of cartoons, apparently SpongeBob SquarePants is very bad for kids' attention span.
Yeah.
They did this test where kids watched Canadian cartoons, swear to God.
Does Canada have cartoons?
They do. They
look at the iceberg. Blah blah blah.
They do, and they're
that's all of Canada's cartoons in my mind. Sorry, Canada.
Besmirching the entire country.
Was Chili Willy Canadian?
No, I don't believe so. That was a terrible Hanna-Barbera character, I think. So anyway, they showed these kids Canadian cartoons, something else. I can't remember what it was, and SpongeBob. And after SpongeBob, kids could not focus. They were like Larry over there.
What?
On his phone. They couldn't focus. So the conclusion is that SpongeBob causes kids to not be able to focus or to not be as smart.
Alternatively, though, I think it's also a great skill they learn because there's a very strong correlation between people with ADD and learn how to manage it and their ability to perform well and think intellectually on levels that are very difficult for many people to do because you can process information so quickly. Just saying.
Wow. I did you catch any of that, Mel?
Well, I just don't understand the correlation to letting kids watch SpongeBob, how that helps.
They're saying because the way SpongeBob's edited, there's almost never seen on longer from like 2 seconds because everything switches so quickly.
Right.
It's kind of like, do you know how now whenever you see a video that's marketed for youth, it's like MTV style, nothing's on longer than like a second. It's like everything's a montage almost.
Yeah.
It's because people lose interest. And if that's managed correctly, I don't think that's bad.
I just wish we could have the opposite effect and teach people to actually take time to think and be in the moment rather than having to overstimulate everybody to be able to have them be in this culture.
I'm sorry. I was just Facebooking. What'd you say?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's kind of what this show does, though. If you're listening to this show and you're really paying attention, and I know people do this while they're doing other things, like we actually have a fair number of female fans who download the show and listen.
Thank you ladies
Which was weird because when I started the show and the way I am, I'm expecting, oh great, it's gonna be nothing but a sausage fest listening, and no, apparently women like, well, they like Larry and you.
we're adorably pleasing to the women.
I love to please women.
It's true.
Things I've never said.
My friend's fiance Amy said that she wants nothing more than to come and have dinner with Mel and Larry.
Meow, I'll go to dinner with you.
Anytime, Amy, we're down.
Amy, we're fun, we'll go.
I know. And so I'm like, well, you'll need to come to Sacramento. That's kind of the...
Where does she live?
They're in Salinas.
Road trip.
Ooh, we should go on a tour and make t-shirts.
Yeah.
On a tour of ladies who love us. The ladies who love us tour.
Ladies are a key demo of mine.
Oddly enough.
Larry has an amazing appeal with women.
I really do.
You have a lot of hags, as it were.
Yeah, if I literally was straight, I would have nonstop. I could have action now. No joke. I think if I was like, hey, ladies, I think I'm going to try to be straight. I think I could have sex with almost any lady I wanted.
They would line up.
Well, they would for a while. But then once you convinced them that you were straight, you'd hear a lot of this.
No.
Would you, ladies, would you like to have sex?
No.
Yeah, they would always say yes.
Could I interest you in a little bit of my penis?
No.
No, because it'd be like this. Oh, my God, I love your hair. Can I French braid it? Oh, yeah. Can I get in your pants? I think it would work.
I think people would get confused if you were a straight gay person, because that's how you would be.
Like a Mormon?
Yeah.
No offense, but a lot of Mormon men seem that way to me. Like that dude on Project Runway that got voted off twice.
So he's
a straight Mormon.
So Larry, you made an assertion, I think it was a couple of shows ago.
Oh, yeah. I know where this is going, and I'm nervous.
No, you don't. Well, you may. But you said that in the 70s especially, there were a lot of game shows that had homosexual contestants on them.
Love Connection.
And here's kind of what we found.
Our next guest is originally from Danville, Illinois. He enjoys cold beer and hot music. Says that he and his mom don't see eye to eye on his love life. And he claims that his job has cost him several relationships. Please welcome Robert Faggot.
Oh, my. Wow.
Faggot is rather an odd name.
Yeah, you know, it is an odd name.
That was really on TV.
That was really on TV.
You know, right now the film goes by like Fago,
and it was with one G, Fagot.
Wow.
So, just backing up your assertion there. See, Larry says things we find make them true.
They're true. Watch any old Love Connection, and you know those dudes are not into women. Please.
They have very feathered hair. I always attributed it to the time, but apparently I was wrong.
Or their love of wiener.
Going into another one of Larry's wheelhouses, his assertion that all weather men were gay.
Okay, I'm nervous about this.
You're nervous about this story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a personal connection.
Oh, you know somebody in the story?
Yeah. Okay, so the story is there's this weatherman in Little Rock, Arkansas that was found passed out on top of a dude that was dead in a bathtub.
Not like on top in a dirty way. They were like...
passed out in a bathtub.
They allegedly... Here's what allegedly happened. They were allegedly doing drugs and drinking, and they passed out in a bathtub, and there was one guy who did not wake up. He died, and he had a chain dog collar around his neck, and the meteorologist at this Arkansas TV station woke up next to him and was very upset. I mean, obviously, it wasn't something that was intended to happen, so that's kind of where the whole thing started. So what was your connection?
Yeah, so... I'm at work, and I work with someone who just started who is from Little Rock. And so I go down, and I said, hey, Chelsea Ray. Her name is Chelsea Ray, and she's from Arkansas. Isn't that perfect?
Nice.
She's so fun. Hi, Chelsea Ray, if you're listening. And so I went in, and I was like, hey, Chelsea Ray. I was like, do you watch the news in Little Rock? And she was like, yeah. I was like, have you heard the story about the weatherman? And she cut me off. When growing up, she was best friends with the guy that died.
Oh.
She took him to school. Like their families were close, like they were neighbors. In high school, he started kind of going a little crazy and started doing drugs and whatever. And she was like, you know, because what's funny is I read the article, and one of the comments was something about like how people were making fun of this, like just like, oh my God, what's going on? It's also Arkansas, which has some issues around lots of things. And so she wrote a comment. And so, and what's funny, she told me, she's like, yeah, she was like, and she told me this, like, oh my God. I was like, I always forget in stories like this that, like, even if they're bizarre and kind of funny, that, like...
They're real people.
They're real people, and there's family. So even if this guy was not necessarily in the best place in life right now, that, you know, his family's mourning, and on top of that, they have to deal with all of this crazy crap. And so I was just like, whoa. And it kind of, like, brought me down. Not brought me down, but it was like a slap in the face. Like,
sure.
Whenever you hear that thing, it's like, oh, it's really funny. And it's really not. And so that was the connection. And so I just felt awful because, like, when I read it, I was like, holy shit. And she was like, you know what the thing is? She was like, because she read the actual police report. Because she was going on and commenting for a while because she just couldn't handle how mean people were being.
We have the police report here,
too. He was
too.
Really probably just wearing one of those necklaces. Like, do you know Tiffany necklaces? How they look like that? It was just a chain necklace. Even it wasn't a dog collar.
Even if he wasn't, it could have been a total style thing. I mean,
exactly.
The whole Sid Vicious thing. I mean, honestly, right. I own what people refer to sometimes as what appears to be a dog collar. It's a choker necklace that I wear.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's cute.
And yeah, and it looks like a dog collar. And I think it's sexy. I think the whole sort of S&M mystique style is sort of sexy. I like the wristband bracelets too. I mean, doesn't mean you're having kinky, crazy autoerotic asphyxiation.
And maybe you are,
and that's
your right. I think
and even if they are, who cares?
I just think it became very sensational because in Arkansas, it became this like all the gays are doing drugs and passing out bathtubs. And what's funny is, I think if you'd ask any member of a fraternity, they could tell you a story that is, except for the guy dying, is pretty close to what things happened.
Yeah.
Where you have a crazy night, you do things maybe you shouldn't have done, and then you wake up and you're like, holy shit. And many people are very lucky that it never went to that extreme, but like it's just being very sensationalized. But it goes back to my original point that almost all TV weathermen are gay.
Point made.
That's kind of why I brought it up. But the latest thing on that, and they're still investigating the whole thing. The meteorologist has resigned.
Oh, he has.
Yeah, he resigned on the 12th.
Oh, that's sad.
Why did he, of September.
Why did he have to resign? I mean,
well, he didn't have to. But when you've got an investigation,
that always breaks my heart when people sort of do that. Like in a way, it's like you don't just like what's his face? Wiener.
Anthony Weiner.
He didn't want to resign, and I kind of got that. Like,
but if by resigning he has a lifetime guarantee of money.
Yeah, well, and I get that, but I don't know that this guy does. Probably,
no,
this
no,
guy's
he probably
screwed.
Offered a buyout.
I hope so. I hope he got to walk away with something because, you know, we all have personal lives and we all live our lives, and sometimes we do stuff that my boss wouldn't approve of everything I do, but. You know, come on.
Well, and if you're a meteorologist in Little Rock, Arkansas, you're not making as much. And the TV business has changed a lot. When the economy went downhill, the days of Ron Burgundy are over.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about a meteorologist in Little Rock, Arkansas, that guy's not making a ton of dough. He's probably making a little bit more than the average. Well, a little bit more than the average educated person in Little Rock is. But he's not a rich dude by any stretch of the imagination.
And so now what does he do?
Well, my guess is, first of all, he's got to get his head right because I can't imagine waking up next to somebody dead.
That would be freaky.
I mean,
especially not knowing if you were drinking or maybe doing other things. I would be very scared. Like,
dude, even when I was a kid, my mom died in my house. And that kind of freaked me out. Just knowing I was in the house with a dead body was a little bit.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So
he's going to be the new meteorologist on Logo.
Well, I hope so.
I hope he doesn't, you know, fall into obscurity and end up broke in a drug addict because it's broken and destroyed him.
What's nice is he'll change his name and go someplace like Miami and be a weatherman for the CW.
Or he'll go on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, because I've seen far less well-known people on that show.
Very true.
And I mean, the story is just, now this is assuming that everything is going to get worked out and he's not going to be facing any charges and resulting in this guy's death, which we don't know. I mean, they haven't released any of the toxicology results at when we tape this.
You totally know there's going to be a Law and Order Special Victims Unit that's going to start exactly with that scene.
I guarantee.
They're probably filming it right now.
So anyway, since Mel is a former police officer and we have, excuse me, the police report right here, I wanted to sort of break down the police report, kind of what's it, you know, sort of read through the police report.
This could go two ways. I'm either going to sound awesome or I'm going to sound like a total idiot.
Well, I think you'll know the terms, which is where we'll kind of get lost. I think we're going to know a lot of them. But anyway, it's time for Mel to break down the police report.
Dun, dun.
Come on.
Ooh, it's the theme from Law and Order.
Sick.
Well, I decided, normally, if we were doing Mel with the police thing, we would... We'd play the Benny Hill theme, but I thought that would be kind of disrespectful. So on 9/5/11
that's a date.
08:10 hours, officers along with fire and rescue and MEMS, MEMS, were dispatched to an address concerning a drowning in a hot tub. Upon my arrival, I knocked on the front door and identified myself. I then began to open and enter and announce my presence again. When I heard a loud voice behind me say...
You're reading this like porn, by the way. I just feel the need to interject
Sorry.
oh, well, my.
I'm gonna cop
it. It's turning into Penthouse.
Behind me say, it's inside. I turned...
Now it really is porn.
There we go.
Yeah, if you didn't know what you were reading about, it did sound very dirty.
That's I'm trying to get a little bit of levity into this where we can't. I turned around to observe a white male later identified as Christopher Barber. He escorted me. That's the guy who owned the place. Escorted me inside and informed me that the person was in the bathroom. I entered the back bedroom and then into the adjoining bathroom where I observed, and they misspelled where I observed a jacuzzi bathtub in the corner. As I approached, I observed no water in the tub. I then observed a... When you're running a cop report, can you actually write, I saw this, I saw that?
We were always trained to not do it first. You were this officer. Mm-hmm. Or officer such and such observed.
So he's only going halfway to retarded cop writing.
Yeah.
By throwing in the eye. I then observed a naked white male, W/M, lying on the floor of the tub. The subject was lying on his right side in a fetal position. His face was blue and purple in color with a chain around his neck. The chain was silver in color and consistent with what I believe to be a dog collar. So that's where the dog collar thing came from, right from the police report. A check of the vitals on the subject was met with negative results.
And that was a pretty, for a responding officer, which is basically just a street cop, that's like, you know, bottom level, you know, when you first get out of the academy, you're just a regular patrol officer, to label that was pretty dangerous, an initial report that you know in a case that's going to be potentially high, he didn't know it was going to be high profile,
right.
You know it's a death, so it's going to have some amount of...
Heightened,
you know,
scrutiny.
Exactly.
Attention.
You don't start deciding what things are or what they're called. You let a detective do that.
So well, it's Little Rock Police. The subject was also cold to the touch. I observed a small ring of blood around the bottom of the tub. Fire rescue arrived along with Sergeant Collins and Officer Mayfield. I then made contact with Mr. Barber, who stated that he did reside at this address and that the deceased did not. He further explained that he only knew the deceased person as Dexter and that he arrived last evening accompanied by Brett Cummins, and that would be the meteorologist. Mm. CID was notified along with Chief Williams. Chief Williams arrived on the scene and spoke with Mr. Barr, blah, 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 blah.
You know it's a really small town if the chief responded to the scene.
Well...
Yeah. And it's a guy that people know.
Well, I think that's probably what happened when the local TV personality's name pops in, they call the chief.
Like, imagine if we were here and we passed out and Christy Mendoza was like duct taped to Nate's wall.
It's probably like a douche thing to say about my old apartment, but I'm pretty sure if we had a high profile case, the last thing the chief would do would be to show up because he'd be afraid he would have said something or done something that would have made him look like an idiot. So he would have left it for other people to screw up. So then he could have just reprimanded them for being the idiots.
But do you remember when Little Rock Police had their own reality show after Bill Clinton for a while? It was like Cops, but it was just the Arkansas State Patrol. Oh, boy.
I don't recall that. I do know that Steven Seagal is a lawman, but but other than that, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to skip through a lot of this stuff. Anyway, the Brett Cummins had left. He had actually left, and then he came back. So they were explaining the whole thing about how they came in at approximately 2000 hours, which is 8 o'clock at night, accompanied by Dexter. He would later be identified as Dexter Williams. They then began to drink and use illegal narcotics. Mr. Barber stated that he was not sure of the drugs that they were using, but that they were snorting them. He then stated that approximately 2200 hours, that's 10 o'clock, Brett and Dexter entered the hot tub, and then in parentheses, jacuzzi. I don't know why he felt the need to specify.
Because it becomes easier in court. He's writing this because someone can use this against and to discredit him as a witness.
And a hot tub is big and round and usually not in your bathroom.
Right, but a jacuzzi is a brand name. Anyway,
yeah.
he later followed them into the tub where they continued to drink. So there's three dudes in a hot tub. He then stated that they exited the tub and went to sleep on the couch in the living room at approximately 2300 hours. He then stated that he woke this morning at approximately 0800 and overheard Brett snoring very loudly. He entered the bedroom and observed that it appeared that no one had slept in the bed. He then entered the bathroom where he observed Brett and Dexter in the tub, which had no water in it. He observed that Dexter's head was lying beneath Brett's left shoulder. He began to gather glassware that had been left in the bathroom and awakened Brett. After Brett awoke, they discovered Dexter was not conscious and his face was a different color. He then explained that Brett screamed and became ill and left the bathroom and vomited on the carpet in the living room. Okay, if you're going to be ill, don't run out of the bathroom. There's plenty of places in the bathroom to throw up.
There's also a dead body.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to throw up.
Why are we reading this?
It's a police report.
I think he just wanted to get as far away from the dead body as he
could. Well, I'm sure. Anyway, he became ill, left the bathroom, living room. It was done at the end of the couch. He advised they cleaned the vomit and the carpet in the living room. And they cleaned the vomit up before the cops came. They observed a bottle of carpet cleaner and a washcloth on the coffee table. Mr. Barber then explained Brett left the home and stated that he was going to return. So, and the meteorologist did return and answered questions and cooperated fully. But I just thought it was a very, very interesting police report, because I've seen a few police reports on the smoking gun, and it was just kind of weird that the police chief wouldn't normally roll out to the scene.
Not that I've ever seen.
So that,
even if you had a homicide,
no,
in Athens, really,
no.
There you go. Police chief in Athens got better things to do.
A lot of time, I mean, in most departments, a police chief is a figurehead. They're a media person. A lot of the times, they're a public figure. They're not, unless it's a super small department, like a department of three. You know, they're not usually going out and doing investigation or even showing out to the scenes. And again, it is when there's so many unknowns at a crime scene, the last thing the chief wants to do is show up, because who are people, you know, who's the media going to go to?
But at
and
that
the chief doesn't want to risk saying something but at idiotic.
But at that point, if people were monitoring at all the radio, media probably was already there, intense media, because
exactly.
That. So maybe he's just hands-on.
Maybe he's really hands-on. But usually you have, like, a media person or a spokesperson.
Like the Asian guy for Sacramento.
Yeah. The
he's
chief's
everywhere.
A lot of times, you know, in my
you know
experience.
I'm talking about, right?
You're talking about Norm Leong.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, he's the public information officer. That's his job. To be everywhere.
Even the DA's office has a lot of that. You know, there's a media officer, and she deals with that stuff. Because, you know, the DA doesn't want to put herself in a position where she'll, you know, make herself look bad. She's an elected official.
Right, because when people think of your investigation, they want to think of this music and not this music. That's really not what you want when you're thinking about an investigation going on. I love this music, by the way.
I feel like we should all start running around.
You should
after
make
each
it
other.
The ringer for your phone.
That would be too much. Or actually, not enough. I don't get enough calls. People text more often. So anyway, that's kind of where that stands. I did not know Larry had a connection to that. So
yes, a reminder. So next time you hear a weird story, just think for a sec. Because two things have happened this week. I don't want to talk about the other one, but two things have happened where it's been like a store, like something like that. And if you're looking from one side, it's really funny. But then if you're like, wow, it's like a little bit to have some gravitas.
So Larry doesn't want us to make fun of anything. Okay, fine.
No, make fun. You can make fun of things that are like, you can still do it respectfully.
Right. Well, yeah, absolutely. There's a time and a place, and I would say a podcast would be the place. But this was just kind of a weird story that involved a lot of weird sort of things coming together.
Yeah.
And
the weatherman's last name is Cummins.
And it got a huge amount of play outside of the local area because
at least it wasn't Faggot.
That's true.
That's right. It wasn't.
The name sounds so awful.
Robert Faggot.
I imagine if that was your name in school, and every time someone called your name, they complained that someone was being bullied.
I don't feel safe.
How fun would it be to have a whole class like this is, you know, Michael Niger?
No.
Like, and have every wrong last name as a name.
I'm not going
it
there.
It could happen.
Okay, so we've moved on from that. But speaking of sort of inappropriate things, there was CNN, a fabulous news organization. I have something from CNN. They wanted to salute this 104-year-old woman who was driving, and so they decided to tell her story and bump out with some music.
His flavor still driving, still driven at the age of 103, tooting around Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And you know when she's coming. No mistaking, her 79 two-tone Coupe de Ville.
Yeah.
And I think the story here is she's 103, 104 next month, and she looks 25 years younger. Ms. Flamer, this shout-out's for you. Ain't no grabbing, ain't no gripping,
ain't no punk-ass nigga set tripping, everybody got a stack in it. That's right.
They used a song with the N-word.
Yeah.
They did. So they bumped a break, throwing the N-word out in some music, which, you know, is fine in the music itself, but the anchor, not one of the community, so they came not allowed to use it. So when they come back from break, they have to apologize.
Some music just a few minutes ago, and obviously, for those of you that heard it, it was the wrong music that aired, and we apologize for that. It was a terrible
mistake.
Was it
really, or are they just idiots?
We're working very hard to make up for it.
Here's we hit the wrong song.
We're working very hard to make up for it.
Here's the question. Why the hell does CNN have that so readily at their disposal for a news story?
Right?
Well, I mean, you do have music at your.
Why couldn't they just play like "Happy Birthday" or "Celebrate Good Time"?
Right, but like it's not. Yeah, like that's a pretty big mistake to have sort of
or Little Deuce Coop
rap. And, like really, CNN.
Well, and she was African American too, which makes it
more
all
awkward.
Yeah, awesome. I think they wanted to sort of go with and sort. No bigger mistakes have been made in culture than when you're trying to sound hip.
Yep.
You're trying to sound hip and with it, and that is when you do something that's horrible.
I
used to work with a police officer that was, probably in his 40s, and I was, in my 20s, and he thought he was so street, except he was in his 40s, so when he would talk to the African Americans, he would talk to them in 70s slang.
That's hot.
It was humiliating.
What's jiving, yo?
Right? He'd call them like jive turkeys and stuff.
Hey,
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Hey, cat.
His entire vocabulary came from Good Times and the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
I want him.
And we kept telling him, like, you have to stop. He's like, no, they get
it's
me.
It's how they relate.
I can talk to the brothers.
I like that he says brothers.
I love him. I'm sure he's still out in the world. He was a wonderful, wonderful guy, but it was just horrible to go on calls with him.
Oh, that is awesome.
He would do the whole, like, let me do the talking. They get me.
Hold on. Let me do the talking.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, bro. What's happening?
Yeah, he'd be like, why are you guys out here acting like a bunch of jive turkeys? I'm like, oh, kill
me. That's amazing.
It was horrible.
That is awesome. It was like he had his own time machine.
Yeah.
Time machine.
I'm going to start doing that.
I'm not going to say his name, but the people from my department that are listening, they know who he is.
There's no need for a name when that happens.
He's the dope.
Yeah.
So we're kind of on a run of people doing stupid things. Fuel TV decided to go out. There's a bunch of new teams in the Pac-12. The Pac-10 is now the Pac-12. And
can I get a quick Pac lesson?
The Pac-10 was.
I'm going to see if I'm more butch than Nate right now.
Okay. The Pac-10 is the Pacific 10 Conference, or was the colleges on the Pacific Coast that
what
were
does
in
it
one
stand for
the Pacific 10.
Pac-10. What is it? It actually stands for something.
P, A, and C all stand for something different.
Mm-hmm. Really? I've never heard that. Mm-hmm. What is it?
The Origins.
Come on,
Butchie. Pacific Athletic Conference.
And is it? I just what sport? Come on, give me a.
All sports.
It's all the sports. It's basically the college.
The equivalent of like the Big Ten.
Okay.
Right. So they decide Fuel TV, which has some comedic aspects to it, and no one watches.
No one watches.
Well, apparently someone was, because this report aired. They decided to go to USC and ask students on campus to welcome new members of the Pac-12.
Colorado and Utah joined the Pac-10 this year, so let's give the conference's two newest members a good old-fashioned all-American welcome by paying a visit to one of its oldest members, USC.
Can't tell where this is going to go wrong, can you?
So wrong.
I love the lame-ass music.
It's on Fuel TV. I think the, like...
Hi, excuse me. Are you a USC student? You know the football team, right? USC Trojans?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're talking to students about Colorado and Utah joining the Pac-10. Old news, right? So would you perhaps look in the camera, tell Colorado and Utah what they have to look forward to as new members of the Pac-12?
I have no idea what that is.
Actually, I don't know anything about the football, but I guess it will be an exciting semester for them.
So just go ahead and look in the camera.
So what should I say? Welcome?
Welcome?
Yeah, welcome. Well,
Colorado. And Utah?
I talk about what?
No. Utah.
Welcome to Colorado.
Not
Utah.
Utah.
Welcome, Colorado, because you're saying to Colorado, but we're in Los Angeles. Let's say, welcome, Colorado and Utah.
So if you haven't figured it out by now, he's just found all of the Asian students on campus.
And which, to be fair, USC has a significant amount of Asian students.
But why did they think that? I love that he said, let's give him an all-American welcome, too.
Right.
He was just being douchey. It was just a setup for
it's fueled
douchey
TV,
a bit.
Which is kind it's of, should be douchey TV.
It's all a bit. Now, I will admit that the jerky side of me said, well, if you're going to do this bit, why didn't you go to UCLA? But
that's douchey.
I know. I said the douchey part of me said.
I think for those people unfamiliar with the UC system, including UCLA and UC Berkeley, the UC system is very heavily Asians are very heavily represented at the UC schools, including UCLA and Berkeley. UCLA being one of the hardest schools to get into the country, harder than Ivy's right now, which is crazy.
Now, the thing that was confusing to me about this was, is it a news story or is it a bit? And it seemed like a little bit of both, which that's why it came across as so jerky.
Right. Well, basically, it's a bit set up as a news story. And that's kind of where it goes from there. So
like when you watch Colbert or they do it on those shows, you get it. They're being funny. But this was confusing
because he's not being smart because he's not smart.
No, yeah. He is not smart at all.
It's a bit and lame without any humor.
And mean.
Yeah.
Pretty much. TV.
Colorado and Utah, this is for you.
Welcome, Colorado and Utah, to the top 12.
Colorado and Utah, welcome.
So this is the big wrap-up where they edit everything together.
Colorado and Utah, and welcome to USC, and if you come, we'll beat you.
Welcome, Colorado and Utah, to the Pac-12.
Welcome, Colorado, Utah, we're going to beat your ass.
That's great. Hey, whoops, I think we're in the way. Let's get out of the way real quick.
Yeah, it's...
So there you have it, Colorado and Utah.
Here you
a
go.
A warm hello from all your friends here at Southern Cal. Welcome to the Pac-12.
To give you an idea, Ed Harvey advertises on Fuel TV. That pretty much captures their demographic.
And this was so bad that when it hit their website, it was on, I guess it was on their air, no one knows. But when it hit their website and people started to complain, Fox, which apologizes for nothing, immediately pulled it off the website and issued an apology. By the way, Carmen Miranda is not here. That's Larry. He's got some ice in his Nalgene bottle.
I know every time you do that, it's distracting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hydrating from my very thorough athletic softball game.
Yeah, welcome to Pac-12, Larry.
That's racist. Well, I think people, especially because of what just happened at UCLA, remember the uproar? There was that white girl who made a video in the library complaining about Asians and how they're coming in here. And they need to act like Americans.
Right, that's why I was kind of surprised they went to USC instead of UCLA. I'm like, if you're going
to... He probably went to UCLA and was mad that UCLA got attention, so he went to USC to screw them over.
Well, I think it was probably USC was just closer to wherever they were. I think it was just really a pure laziness.
Can I say something for those that aren't near California that shocked me as being out here? So UCLA is a public school. USC is a private school. USC has kajillions of dollars. USC has a lot of money as well, but not as much as USC. What is shocking to me is that USC is in arguably, it's surrounded by some of the more violent neighborhoods in Los Angeles.
It's right on the border of South Central.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. South Central is now called South LA. They've gotten rid of the Central. Rebranding. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
LA.
It's not Watts anymore?
It's new hip. No, it's just South LA, which makes me laugh every time I see these banners on the sign. But then UCLA literally is in Brentwood, which is literally one of the most expensive zip codes in the country. Just very funny to me, the dichotomy between the two. And those two schools hate each other.
Yeah, I've been by the campus of USC. I didn't get out.
I don't think it's that bad.
On campus, I think you're probably fine. But, you know, it's one of those things where if you're wandering too far off campus, you're probably going to feel uncomfortable. A
USC
lot of people.
Campus, in my opinion, is prettier because UCLA is really landlocked.
Well, UCLA, it's next to Brentwood. It's in Westwood, and it's built on like a side of a hill.
It's on the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, it's really crazy when you sort of look at it. It's a beautiful campus, and so is UC Berkeley. A lot of the UC campuses.
There's really no ugly UC school. Santa Barbara, the only one maybe is Riverside. Maybe.
Yeah, no, that
people
absolutely.
Who don't know anything about California, are like, what the hell are you people talking about?
You know, get a map. Get a map. If you don't know where, look up Riverside, find it, and you can go to like Google Images and stuff. Figure it out.
It's east of LA. There you go.
It's not East LA. It's east of LA.
East LA has now been rebranded to not West LA.
Oh, for God's sake. Is West Hollywood still West Hollywood?
Yeah. Ooh, but there's drama at West Hollywood.
You can't drop that and not. What's the drama in West Hollywood?
Well, there's lots of drama in West Hollywood. There are issues because Armenians are starting to move in.
What?
Not Armenians.
Well, in L.A., people who know nothing about Armenians are shocked when they go to L.A. Armenians, is the second or third most spoken language in the LAUSD school district.
I blame the Kardashians.
Probably. Those dang Armenians.
That's who I blame.
Armenian looks really funny, too. Just putting it out there. The written language looks nothing. Like... Oh, no, not the people. I'm not that much of a racist.
Those funny looking Armenians.
Nate and Mel literally looked at me like I said, after the show, I'm going to go kick some puppies and drink their blood. The Armenian language looks a little funny because it's not based on anything we're familiar with. And it's not based on, like, and I know Russian, so it doesn't even look like Cyrillic. It's just this weird, it looks like Ethiopian to me. It's a lot of squiggles.
Fair.
I apologize if that's offensive. I'm not judging it. I just think it looks weird.
No, that's
that
fine.
That sounds so racist. Like, I'm not a racist. I just hate black people. So that's not me, for the record.
So what's the drama? Is that there's been a bunch of Armenians that have moved into the gay neighborhood?
That's that, and it's happened in a lot of gay neighborhoods where gay people now, because of all the gay bees, can't live where they always wanted to live because the schools aren't good. So they're moving to other areas, and it's creating some tension.
Oh,
the older gays and younger gays, and then the young gays now are growing up thinking they're going to get married and have kids. They're turning very traditionally what might be considered suburban, and there's issues around that. It's a little on the peak.
So it's the darker side of the acceptance of the gay lifestyle into a mainstream culture.
A little bit. Well, there's people like, you know how in deaf culture there's people that really think like cochlear implants are evil,
yeah,
because like it kills their insular deaf community. I know people who really think that like the mainstreaming of gays is really countercultural. And I've experienced it a little this year at San Francisco Pride, where I was surrounded by more straight people than gay people. And it's really great that that's happening. But at the same time, there's something to be said for being with your people. Like if you have an Irish, I'm Irish. If you go to an Irish festival, you'd expect to be surrounded by Irish people and other people who like to celebrate Irish culture. But like when gay pride events turn into outdoor raves for 19-year-old straight girls, it loses its meaning. It literally did not feel political at all. It was just very like, oh my God, there's a street festival. Let's go and wear a rainbow skirt. Yay! Which is great. Like on some level, I recognize that it's really great. It shows acceptance. It shows that like this isn't this crazy thing. But at the same time, there's something a little bit sad that that's being lost. Where gay pride started because it was political.
But now it's hip to hang out with the gays.
Oh my God, I'm meeting her tomorrow. Oh my God! When you hear this, I will have already met Kesha.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh my God!
Well, you were going into such detail on gay. I needed to throw some Kesha.
Yeah, I'm
out
sorry.
There.
I didn't mean.
That's
to get,
okay.
I got on a little bit of a soapbox.
It's no, like when you know, part of the problem is it's the gays' fault because
it's true.
The gays are so cooler and hipper than everybody else.
I would agree.
Well, except for your old friend who spoke to the blacks. Sorry.
The gays.
Sure.
And yeah. So. The problem is just like with anything else, when it's sort of that counterculture thing and it's really cool, then everybody wants to get in on it, which makes it uncool because it dilutes it. It's like the gay bars that were all the cool dance clubs where all the cool gay people hung out and danced, and then all the straighties wanted to go in because it was the cool hip club. And then if you were the few straight people that went to the gay club, you were crazy right. And awesome. Mm-hmm. But then everybody flooded in and now it's 50-50 at best. Right.
That's why I really think there's going to be larger movements. And I think this is happening, like Folsom Street Fair. Which is, for those of you unfamiliar, is not just your neighborhood street festival.
Go ahead and Google it.
Awesome.
It's something that can literally only happen in the city of San Francisco because historically they've always allowed it to happen. It's a very large festival. It's like 1 million people. And it's a celebration of like S&M and kink. And I will just say I went last year for the first time and I have never felt more boring in my entire life. I'm always in a group of people. I'm always someone that's like kind of fun and done more things than maybe other people. I literally felt like I was a straight dude from suburban Chicago wearing khakis and a plaid shirt. And I go to a Methodist church. Like I literally felt so plain and boring because there are people doing things that I didn't even know existed. But to be fair, it felt really political because it felt people were claiming like sort of who their identities and stuff or whatever. But I think that's going to happen more and more.
In a couple years, there's going to be straighties walking around with collars with each other because they think it's hip and cool and sexy.
Well, tonight at Gay Softball, my friend and I were talking. There's a number of straight people that play on our league because, one, gays are organized well, and, two, their leagues are super fun and we're good people to be around.
And
people
they always have super
us.
Cute uniforms.
That's true, even though my blue shorts don't really match right now. But it's in the blue family, so it doesn't clash. we were talking about – and there's – I talked about this before. There's been lawsuits like straight people, like I like that you like to play with us, but this is a gay league. Sorry.
Yeah.
There needs to be some, but I think at a certain point, like, the mass needs to be there. Like, if Howard University, which is a historically black university, did all of a sudden, like, white people started going there en masse, it would lose some of its identity. Maybe that's not bad, but it's something to be said.
It does become very tricky, though.
And I feel like that's something, not to pull you out, and I, like, straight white men really don't get. Like, the idea of being, like, surrounded by your people.
Well, no, we can't get it anymore. Because if you try and do that,
it's
if
true.
You're a straight white guy and you try to be surrounded by your people,
you're a racist.
You're either a racist, a homophobe, or you're some sort of misogynist who hates women. And
it's
not so much that we don't have it. It's
you
that
can't.
You can't, because if you do, you're in the Klan or something of that nature.
Unfortunately, I think that's true. On colleges, what's good, though, on college campuses, they've started to recognize this. Is they're starting, like, Ohio State has a male center now. Like, they've always had women's centers and stuff. Because they've discovered, finally, I don't know why it took so long, but, like, campuses are hostile places for straight white men. And sometimes the people that most need lessons of, and not just straight white men, but just, like, as a group, when men, places where you're trying to teach tolerance and lots of different things, if you're constantly told you're bad, it's not you're not going to learn anything. You're going to shut down and regress even further.
Exactly.
Where if you can be surrounded. So I do think there's a little bit of, like, maybe like the place like man caves, I think is like every time I watch Home Virgins or Pop That Home Virgin Cherry, whatever that show's called, there's men are always talking about, you know, I need a man cave.
Well,
but you're right. Publicly, if there was a straight white male festival in Midtown,
it's called a Klan rally.
It would be. People would be like, "We need to protest it." But like, oh, the queer women of color having a meeting. Oh, yay! Starbucks is going to sponsor it.
Well, yeah, like one of my coworkers went to the National Association of Black Journalists convention.
Yeah.
There would never be able. You couldn't really have a National Association of White Journalists convention.
Incorrect. It's called the Utah Journalists Association. That, sorry, Utah.
Well, it is the way it is.
No, I think. Well, I wonder what's going to happen. Although, argument that my coworker used to give me, hi Vanita, if you're listening to this, is that culturally based groups, because black by default has become a culture, where like she wonders if there's going to be more of a return to like the Irish Journalist Association or the Italian Journalist Association, and to some degree, like the awesome German building in East Sacramento. The German Society, I forget what it's called, the Antietam or whatever. Like, that's a German group. It's all German people, but it's culturally based. But what happens is when you become, I think this happens especially out here in California, when you really merge with lots of like different cultures and you lose your identity, I feel like white people lose it because there isn't a white, at least even though there's not a white recognized white culture. Where black people, like, there's black culture. Like, I'm all Irish. I know there's Irish culture wherever I go. I can like gravitate towards those Irish people.
Yeah, and I can find the Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, straight white dudes.
Yeah, if you can't find the Jews, check the attics.
There should be a president that can't.
Oh, that was an anti-joke.
That was awful.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
It was terrible.
Oh, my God. Wow. This is why straight white men should not be together en masse.
Right.
Sorry.
We're going to go protest outside your apartment.
I'd hide Anne Frank in my attic if I had one.
Oh.
I would, but I don't.
Oh.
I'd let her hang in with my water heater.
But, Larry, I definitely get what you're saying. Like, I think haven't I talked about it before? Like, when I was in college, when you go to the lunch, the cafeterias, and the African-American people automatically have a place to sit for some reason. Whether they know each other or not, the color of your skin mm-hmm. allows you a place at a table.
True.
Whereas I would always be like, I guess I'll go sit by myself. You can't just go sit at a bunch of white people table and go, hey, fellow white people, can I sit
right.
here?
There's some. I would say there are some advantages, I don't know if that's the right word, for being a member of a visibly...
It's pathetic. I always wanted to be in a special group of some sort. So I used to think, like, I wish I was disabled or had a disease or some sort of infirmity because I wanted to belong to something so bad.
And you didn't join a sorority where you branded with your letters?
I did go through Rush. It didn't go
right.
so well.
I'm sorry. You should have joined AOPI where my sister was president.
As I said, Rush did not go well. Nobody gave me a bid.
Sorry.
No.
The pandas would have.
It was sad.
True story. My parents just went down. My sister is still way involved in her sorority. They went down to help plant flowers at my sister's sorority house because she's like their advisor and they wanted it to look nicer. I'm like, really, Mom and Dad? You're going to go build? But, like, my sister's been out of college for like 20 years. Maybe not. 15 years.
Yeah. This is a reenactment of what happened when Mel showed up. Mel, go ahead and ask if you can be part of the sorority, Mel.
Hi. I'd like to join your sorority. Can I join?
Oh. You can be in my sorority.
they ran away that quickly. You know who else is feeling sad right now? One of your people, as a matter of fact. Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, I don't know this. What's going on?
She is considers herself a social pariah. How lonely Monica Lewinsky has failed to find happiness and is still the butt of lewd Clinton jokes.
I get this. I totally get this, by the way.
Feel bad for her. I'd go out with her.
Where does she live?
Well, LA? She splits time, apparently. You know, she was the White House. For anybody who's a little young and doesn't remember this.
Oh, my God, I feel old. How can people not know who Monica Lewinsky is?
She was a White House intern who found fame for all the wrong reasons. Now, 17 years later.
Holy shit.
There are people that weren't even alive when this was going on.
There are seniors in high school who were just being born.
Oh, my God, people don't know who Monica Lewinsky is.
Yeah. And she's still trying to downplay her scandalous affair with then-President Bill Clinton. She is single. Her line of handbags failed to catch on.
I'm sorry, did you say handbags or hand jobs? She couldn't resist. Sorry, Monica.
And according to the National Enquirer, is living the life of a near recluse. Now, it's the National Enquirer. Right. I'm pretty much
up there with New York Times.
Monica, apparently. New York Times?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I cite National Enquirer extensively. I got through graduate school because of National Enquirer.
I mean, I know it's not the same, but it makes me think a little bit about what happened, like, to Heidi Fleiss. I mean, her story is different, but
very different.
Same thing. She's sort of, she can't go out. Now everybody knows her. She'll always be that person.
And Monica Lewinsky really didn't do anything, let's be honest, that a lot of college-age women do. And President Clinton got off completely scot-free.
Well,
except for the impeachment.
Yeah, and that's a footnote in history.
Yeah.
Tell it when she's shuffling handbags on the corner.
Right.
Anyway, she's apparently desperately trying to live down her past. And an insider, so you know it's somebody important, told the Enquirer, she's alone most of the time and is pretty much a social pariah. The source claims Monica has more or less given up on finding love.
She was engaged for a while. I remember that.
Monica still feels like she's the punchline to a dirty joke, the source said.
The problem is, though, she's in a real pickle because in some way she uses her name and her fame to get some airtime. So it's not like she can cut her hair short, dye it blonde, and change her name because then she won't be Monica Lewinsky and she doesn't know who she wants to be right now.
But doesn't she come from crazy? Like, I don't feel too bad. It's not like she's destitute.
No, she's...
She comes from money.
Right, and part of the story was she is splitting time between her parents' places in L.A. and New York.
Rough. So I'm going to take everyone. If you email us, I will give every time you email us and say Monica, I will donate $5 to the Monica Lewinsky Fund.
Well, maybe she can go on celebrity rehab too.
Whatever happened to her? Remember the girl with the big neck that traded her in?
Linda Tripp.
Whatever happened to her?
Well, I think she's just
really living... of all the insults you said, big neck. The woman looked like a giant man beast, and you said big neck
again. Maybe because people don't know. My favorite was when what was the dude's name from Roseanne?
Not Tom Arnold.
Goodman.
John Goodman.
John Goodman played her and literally looked really
on
like
SNL,
her.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for her.
For a moment.
Not really because she was a backstabbing whore, but like, and was jealous that Monica got the president's DNA on her blue dress. But now, come on, let's be honest. I know of people who, if there's ever DNA on clothes, they will keep it, in part because of what Monica happened.
Right. Well, that was...
Not always in bad situations, but, like, in case he ever said this didn't happen, I got some evidence on my dress.
Gross.
And they say it like that, waving their head.
Larry knows how to talk to the brothers, too. And the sisters.
Hi, Jeff, talking... Oh, I do. Literally, okay, so whenever I talk to black... Okay, aside from one of my key demos is large black women, because, one, I literally think they're so sexy... But, like, I have no problem talking with them, and they instantly love me. It's been seen by many people. Like, so in Philadelphia one time, and it was funny because we were just talking about it earlier in the day. My friend and I were staying in a hotel, and I was like, I walked out, and it was the, you know, an African-American woman. I was like, hey, girl, what's going on, girl? And automatically, she was like, they like me. I think in part because white men can be intimidated by what appears to be strong black women, where pretty much all gay men just want to be strong black women because they're pretty much they act exactly the same. Like, girl, who are you talking to? I'm pretty sure that was said tonight at my gay softball league. So I have a really good rapport with black women. We can test it out sometime. You'll be full.
No, I know you're completely right. I do think there's a huge similarity between gay men and black women. The behaviors and the attitudes are quite aligned.
Now, are you just talking about large black women or all black women?
All black women, but especially like bigger black women.
It's that sassy thing.
Yeah, like sassy black women, which in our minds usually go to not diva black women, but like sassy girl. Like, hey, girl. I'm like, girl, what's going on with your hair today? It looks good. I start talking differently, and it's hysterical. I do it just, it's, like, natural.
I just do it if I meet people that are, like, from England, and then all of a sudden I have an English accent.
Good day, mate. Can I get you some tea? I have the worst accent.
Mate, you're an Australian English person.
So you're like Madonna, then?
Yes.
A little bit of that in there.
Are either one of you watching Project Runway?
No.
There's a, okay, if anyone is, I'm going to say this in 2 seconds. I just used 2 seconds. There's a man who grew up in Columbus, Ohio, where I grew up, and he's this Asian guy. He moved to England when he's like 18, lived there for like a year, then Italy for 2 years. He has a stronger accent than my family that lives in Ireland and has never lived outside of Ireland. Like, he literally has this, like, he's trying to be cooler by having an accent. Worse than Madonna.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Though I do think some people are just really prone to picking up accents really easily.
Oh, sure. I had a cousin who grew up in Vermont, and he was in the military, and he was in Kentucky, and he was there for like 6 months, and he came back, and he came back with...
He was a redneck.
He was a redneck before, and he talked slow before, but he had that incredibly, you want to strangle him so he can get 5 words out in a half an hour, Kentucky slow drawl.
Are there rednecks in Vermont?
There's rednecks everywhere, Larry.
Yeah, but in my mind, everyone in Vermont lives in this cute house and makes maple syrup.
Your idea of Vermont is very wrong.
Really spread out remote parts.
I know, yeah. I'm sure like everyone in the East Coast thinks everyone in California lives on the beach and surfs every day.
People, when I moved here, literally my friends from home asked me how close I was to the ocean. And I was like, I cannot find it.
My favorite is, you're close to LA?
Yes, very close.
Well, my state, you know, Ohio takes 3.5 hours to get from corner to corner.
I know.
You know? This state is ginormous.
People, I recently did a training for people who were new to California, and I wanted desperately to find a map that overlaid California to the East Coast, because, again, everyone in California knows these, none of us are originally from California,
right.
But people that are born here all learn these things, like, if California was its own country, it'd be the 7th largest economy in the world, and, like, we do have so many things, like, it's ridiculous how, we have deserts and oceans and lakes and mountains and snow, everything in between. We have more than any other state in the country. Like, I wish there was a map where you could put, like, California over the East Coast so you could show people. Really? Okay. Yeah. California's really close. Like, if you went, like, I feel like it would go from Maine to, like, North Carolina. It would have to.
Yeah.
It's very close to that. If you're talking about the Oregon border to
the
southern part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
California.
Because when I drove in January, when my friend Jim and I drove up to
Sexy
Seattle,
Jim.
Yes, Sexy Jim.
Oh, my God. He has this friend. I'm sorry. I have to say this. If he's listening, I don't mean to embarrass you. He has this friend that's name is Jim. His name is Jim. I met him once, and I was he's not my type by all means. But I was like, that man is pure sexy. And so what's funny is he was working for a TV station here, and he came to film a debate at the Stonewall Democrats thing, which is all gay dudes. And literally, I'm not even joking, and he was new and he was filming. Everybody's eyes were on that dude. Everybody. He's one of those guys that's just like super sexual, like just by like his being.
Jim,
it was ridiculous.
Jim is a very good looking guy. He's about 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. He's in really good shape. He runs. He played basketball in college a little bit, and he has a full head of hair.
Oh my.
And he's funny and nice and talks.
Yeah, well, you didn't even get that far.
I talked with him a little bit.
No, not you, but I'm talking about the Stonewall gays.
Oh my God. People literally were like, and what's funny is because I said hello to him really quickly, people are like, do you know him? And because he was relatively well-dressed, people are like, he's straight, but maybe not. Like, it was really funny.
Everybody was hopeful.
Everyone is hoping their DAR was not working because people are like, oh.
Their DAR. I love Larry. They have to abbreviate it because they're so horny.
Yeah, gaydar.
My DAR is broken.
Oh, wait. If you're part of it, it's ridiculous to say my gaydar, because, like, duh, what other DAR would I have?
My me DAR?
My Irish DAR? my Unitarian DAR?
My me DAR is broken.
I have Jew DAR.
Do you have Vermont DAR?
No. No.
You have maple syrup all over your shirt. You're from Vermont.
Or Canada.
Or you're developmentally disabled and you've had pancakes.
We're going to get banned by every group imaginable.
What? I said developmentally disabled.
That doesn't make it okay. That'd be like saying... That'd be like if I wrote a sentence and spelled women with a Y and said, women are dumb bitches. Spelled it with a Y.
Look, I drop stuff on myself all the time, and I'm perfectly capable of things.
Oh, my.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. That was awesome.
Right. So anyway.
That made me laugh so hard.
When you're in Sacramento and you're driving north, we drove up, we stopped in Portland, and it seemed like forever. ever.
It is. You go through like 14 states
before we hit the border with Oregon. It's like, okay, we you drive 3 hours to get to Redding, and you're halfway to Oregon from Sacramento.
It is far, people.
It's crazy if you don't live here.
Everyone should come out here for like a week and a half for vacation, and you can go snowing in Tahoe, go to the beach, go to the desert.
You can go snowing?
Skiing.
Okay.
I don't really snow.
And I have to say they're very honest up north because I lost my wallet on the way to Klamath.
Did you say wallet?
Wallet.
Klamath. Klamath sounds weird.
Klamath, yes.
I was on my way up to Klamath, and I think I was somewhere near Yreka.
Yreka!
Yes. And I lost my wallet, and it had all the money for a bed and breakfast in it, like $400 or $500 for a weekend at a bed and breakfast. And somebody found it, turned it into the McDonald's, and they held it for me, and they're safe.
They're nice.
They're honest people, but if you've ever watched a show Intervention, 4 out of 5 shows are filmed in way Northern California.
Well, that's because they have all the drugs there.
They always fly out of the Yreka Airport or the, like Redding Terminal.
Well, let's go a little bit further north. Apparently, there's been some violence erupting with some longshoremen up in the state of Washington. 500 longshoremen went on a rampage at a shipping yard over union benefits this week, and it seems not to have subsided. The International Longshore and Warehouse Union received a visit from a local station, KGW, and they weren't really that happy about
it. This looked like a bit.
It did, but it's not.
No.
Oh, hi. I'm with KGW and just wanted to know if there was anyone here who might want to talk to us about the situation.
Actually, you can go down to Mill Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Talk to them dumbasses down there at EGT.
Talk to them dumbasses.
That's pretty cool. Longshoremen around here.
All right.
That's what you can do. So go back to Portland. Bye.
This guy's a great representative.
Hey!
He sounds like a sassy gay man.
Get your fucking camera out of here! That's none of your fucking business, you cockbite!
And they have stuff posted outside in the parking lot, but it's nobody's business.
I love that he called them a cockbite. I'm going to adopt that into my vocabulary. I will call someone a cockbite in the next 2 weeks. That's my goal. So it continues.
Get out of here now! Okay. Don't fuck with me, partner!
You're not the PR staff, are you?
You don't fucking worry about who I'm with!
He has no idea what PR means.
Now, longshoremen aren't exactly known for their kind and gentle nature. It's like we're talking about like Quaker activists here.
Well, yeah, and it's like antagonizing him. I'm going to be smarmy and antagonize him. Well, that didn't go very well.
Get the fuck out of here! That's none of your fucking business, you cocksucker. Unless you want trespassing, get out of here. You want your fucking jammer broke, you cocksucker?
We just wanted to hear your story.
I said bye now, or you're going to get trespassing.
Well, we were leaving.
The fuck you are, the cocksucker sitting there. You know what, you dumb motherfucker? You like your fucking glasses?
It's like an episode of Deadwood, really, honestly. Deadwood hasn't really gone away. It's just moved to Washington State.
Don't fucking threaten me, you son of a bitch.
I didn't say a word, my friend.
Get the fuck out of this parking lot right...
Don't fucking threaten me, you fucking son of a bitch.
And nobody said a word to this guy. Right. They're all backing away.
Well, some of them were sort of standing their ground, and that's kind of the weird... That's kind of the game you play when someone's being hostile and you're with the news media. You have to give them space because, I mean, yeah, you may have any right to be there, or you may not because it's private property, but they want to get this sort of a lot of journalists want to get this sort of confrontation, and they got it, although this would sound a lot like the emergency broadcast system once they beeped everything out.
Now.
Okay, you bet.
Bye.
Catch you later, brother.
Get out of here now.
You betcha, man.
Take your fucking pictures. I'm not going to touch that cocksucker. I'd fucking cold cock him in a heartbeat.
I'm with you.
Bye. Get out of the fucking parking lot.
He sounds like a drag queen, because if any of you ever crossed a drag queen, they are vicious. No, literally, drag queens do not hold back. That sounds like a drag queen.
So anyway, they're trying to get this guy's name, so they ask him his name, because they want to put it on the screen, on the lower third, so they can show who he is. I don't think they were able to actually put this on the lower third.
That's my name. Fuck you, cocksucker.
Okay.
Ferdinand.
All we wanted was your opinion about what's going on.
You got it.
Help you tell your story.
Wait for Jennifer Sargent to call you.
Yeah, you wait.
phony fuckers.
You know, Jennifer Sargent's like,
you phony fuckers.
He needs to learn a new word besides fuck. Every time instead of fuck, he should say teddy bears. Leave you teddy bears alone.
I mean, talk about not furthering your cause and making your group look like a bunch of douchebags.
Well, how about you head up to Washington and instruct him on the finer points?
I'll walk up and be like, hey, girl. Oh, wait, you're not a big black woman. Hey, girl. Girl, why are you talking like that?
I mean, don't they tell people like they trained us? No comment.
Okay, they're longshoremen.
Right, and he did tell...
No comment.
He did tell them to get out, but they sort of provoked him, and this is...
No, you say no comment, you go back inside, and you close the door.
You're calm and rational. Longshoremen aren't exactly calm nor rational.
Right, you've seen Deadliest Catch, right?
Yeah.
Guys out on a ship.
She's turned on, I think, by some of those men. Yeah. Yeah, she is. She, meow.
I like Edgar.
Now you're creeping me out.
Ew, I just made a weird meow noise.
Yeah, you did. You're creeping me out more than reading the police report in the sexy voice.
Meow.
Oh, my God.
So, one of my smallest nicknames is Kitten. Every time I go to bat, they say, go, Kitten. Meow.
Oh, dear Lord.
True story.
All right. We're going to change. So Angry Chick. You're talking about Angry Chicks. I was cruising around on YouTube for stuff, and I was looking for, because I wanted to find a nice soliloquy by a drunk girl. Because those are some of my favorite things, logic of drunk ladies. I did not find a drunk girl, but I did find a very angry lady. Lady I'm going to use lightly, but this is an Asian girl who's very upset with her boyfriend. So
I'm going to tell you about a Bridezilla's episode after this.
Okay. I love Bridezilla's.
Me too.
Okay, Lord.
Just waiting for Larry to get his headphones on so he can
hear
this.
I'm listening.
It's 3 a.m. and... nowhere to be found. Don't know where my boyfriend is. Let's try to find him. I have an idea where he is.
So she's recording this on a camera. She's in bed right now when she's doing this.
Nate, could you describe what she looks like? Since you're the racist one of the group.
Well, she's Asian.
That's racist.
That's it. And
how does she look? She looks
Asian. She looks Asian and kind of dark because she's shooting in the bedroom at 3 a.m.
You said shooting bedroom 3 a.m. in one sentence.
And her boyfriend, you'll be able to draw a mental picture of him just from what he sounds like.
Probably on the couch where he's been for the past couple months doing nothing but playing his fucking video games. Like go to fucking school, trying to pay the fucking bills. Babe, do you have any idea what time it is?
Nah, why? What's up?
And you can hear the clicking of him playing video games.
Maybe he was typing a resume.
No, he's sitting on the couch with his feet up. And she comes out. It's obviously middle of the night. And she goes, do you have any idea what fucking time it is? And he's like, no, what's up? The saga continues.
Give me something to drink, yeah?
Give me something to drink.
Give me something to drink.
Hell yeah!
Well... Then you heard a bit of a smash before I stopped it, but it continues.
Yo! What the fuck are you doing, yo? What are you doing? Stop, yo! The fuck is your problem?
There's your fucking PlayStation. Why don't you get a fucking job and pay for fucking goddamn bills?
Stop, yo.
She went over, grabbed his PlayStation 3 off of the shelf, picked it up, and smashed it on the floor.
I feel her pain.
It was premeditated, though, because she was filming it.
Well, yeah.
Creative course of action.
I'm sure that this is not the first time. It's 3 a.m. She's woken up. He's been out there doing that and doesn't have a job. But sort of to turn this around, let's say it was a guy who did this to his girlfriend.
Barbie collection.
What? Yeah, so it's 3 a.m. She's up
grooming
late.
Her Barbie.
She's doing whatever. And she doesn't have a job, and she's not kicking in for the bills, and he goes out and just smashes her stuff. What would we sort of look at him as?
Domestic violence guy.
Right, and you're like, I feel her pain. Now, I do too, because this guy... She comes out, hey, give you something to drink. Dude is a white dude, about a 3-day growth of beard.
Yum, I love that.
There you go.
I'll date him. Sure. If he can live on my couch, I'll support him.
There's your boy toy, Larry.
Is he bigger? Very skinny.
Nah, kind of skinny.
He's a few cheeseburgers away.
Yeah, very. Well, if you brought it, maybe if you brought him something to drink and some cheeseburgers, he'd fatten up a little bit on the couch.
I'd put cream in his beer.
You so said cream in his beer.
Yeah, I did.
So anyway, that was angry. I did
a couple years ago dated a guy, and I was what they affectionately refer to as a wow widow.
Oh, World of Warcraft.
And I would go over to his place and sit, and he would be on this freaking computer with like a headset on, talking to people in all these different places all around the world, playing this stupid freaking
make-believe game. They might as well be, it's the same thing as playing Barbies.
I'm like, I've got a vagina.
Who's hating on the nerds now?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, look at you guys. Yeah, I see how it is.
I just hated not getting any attention. Like, turn the game off once in a while.
Well, that was apparently her thing was the attention, but I'm guaranteeing the other part of her thing was he didn't have a job, and instead of going out and looking for one, he was just playing video games because she was taking care of
stuff. Guarantee you, if he was super attentive and wonderful, she would be a lot easier about him not paying the bills, despite that he's not paying the bills and ignoring her.
Well, that would buy you another month, is what I'm thinking. It's not going to make the problem go away. Because women, if there's something gnawing at you, seriously, if there's something gnawing at a lady, you can do nice things, and that will delay the inevitable thing that's coming, but it will not get rid of it, because that has to come out at some point. And different women handle it differently. Some women will let it out in small bursts, so you get a chance to correct the behavior. And others sort of hold it inside and hold it inside and hold it inside until they then smashing PS3s on the floor.
It's pretty awesome, though. I like it. It's dramatic.
All right. So it's time for our only segment of the show, and that is, of course...
Cool.
Tool. Whoa. Let's start with Monica Lewinsky.
Cool.
Mel?
Cool. I have no problem with her. I feel bad
for
her.
She did nothing wrong. She never lied.
I think, frankly, she was in love with him, and she was thinking at the end of the day she was going to end up with him.
Who wouldn't, in their right mind, if you were exposed to someone with that kind of power, do what she did? What she did was maybe skanky, but come on, who has not been a little bit skanky?
It's the ultimate teacher crush.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it was. I'm going to go cool, because I think any chick who does that is cool by me.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure about the whole cigar thing. That seems a little odd.
Each their own, I guess.
To each their own.
To be fair, she was practicing safer sex.
And by the way, Monica, I'm single, so call me. I'm fine. I'll
She's
overlook
Jewish.
It.
She's Jewish. She's one of you.
Yay.
She's one of you. I'll let her stay in my attic. Anyway.
Again, it's so bad.
Yeah, but Mel's laughing now. The angry longshoreman, cool or tool?
Cool.
Mel?
Tool. Did you say cool?
Yeah.
He did.
I don't really care about longshoremen. Harsh. I think that's all. To have someone like that just be that balls out, I think it's kind of awesome. You skanky fucking bitch. That's my fucking name, you fucking whore. I think part of me would love to be able to just have that reaction one day, and I just don't ever have it. I don't have that in me.
And Mel, you voted for Tool.
If you're representing a group that's trying to cause something positive to happen for them, the last thing you want to do is have some dumbass like this be the one who answers the door when the news comes calling.
Right. And that's kind of the thing. I'm teetering on this one, because there's part of it that's cool, because I don't think there's anybody who hasn't wanted to go off on someone like that at a certain point, but you don't, because you know, oh, if I do that, I'm going to get fired, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. He's a longshoreman.
Like the guy from JetBlue, the flight attendant that said, fuck you nasty ass passengers. I'm opening this bitch and getting out.
Right.
Everyone loved him. He gets a pass.
He would never be convicted in court, because he would get standing ovation. Everyone wants to do that one.
Yeah.
Why does he get a pass, Mel? Because he's gay?
Hold on. He had bleach blonde hair, was a flight attendant, and he was gay?
What?
Oh, my God.
No, I think it was because he liked having sex with men.
Oh.
No, I think it was because the impetus behind it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Everyone has that feeling enough people travel see how rudely some people treat flight attendants. And if you just see it repeatedly, I sometimes want to go off on passengers. And the fact they don't is amazing.
I mean, if the news guy had shown up and tried to interview this guy, and this guy was trying to rationally answer the question, and the new guy was badgering him. Finally, the guy was like, you know what? If you don't want to listen to my answers, why don't you go fuck yourself? Then I would have been like, damn straight guy. But this guy came out from nowhere acting like a douche.
Yeah, he's absolutely a tool. I mean, it's kind of goes with the territory. But
I'm not saying I want to invite him over and make him some scrambled eggs. But I do think you'd be like, I just think guys like that, I would love to be friends with him because I would never be worried in any place. If I didn't get served right, he'd be like, where my motherfucking cheeseburger, bitches?
would you bring him to the Stonewall Democrat meeting?
Oh, yeah. People like I envision him as a burly man. People, he would be very popular.
and finally, a cooler tool, the angry chick who smashed her boyfriend's PS3.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say tool, but just because it's staged and she filmed it, it's not her being authentic. Where if it was like a story of like, this girl went crazy because... Oh, on one Bridezilla episodes, this woman was so upset at her boyfriend or her fiance for not doing anything. He wasn't helping her with the marriage. She went in, took his Xbox, picked it up, and smashed it on the ground.
That's the one I was going to mention.
She was such a... Oh, the woman who worked at a tanning salon but couldn't go in tanning.
Oh, God.
Because they were full with clients, and she acted like it was a major crisis. And her family was like, you're a crazy bitch.
They did not care. That's what I liked about her family. They knew she was crazy.
And her fiance, same person, also said later at dinner, said when he works don't really matter because he started dating her when she wasn't pretty. So looks don't matter to him.
Right in front of her. She was destroyed.
And she was already a high maintenance bitch. So it wasn't like someone people like, what did you just say? That's bad. He was actually kind of attractive.
You know, sometimes honesty is not the best policy. So you're voting for Tool.
Tool.
Mel?
I vote Tool because at the end of the day, and maybe it's because I'm a therapist and I do relationship counseling or whatever, I just don't think it's ever the right way to deal with your problems. To destroy
fuck you, bitch.
Someone. You fuck you, man.
He should be a counselor.
You don't destroy people's property. The people that shred the boyfriend's clothes, throw the stuff in the yard, do that shit. That drives me crazy.
In Waiting to Exhale, you did not applaud when she put all his shit out there and burned it. The movie theater I saw it on, no joke, was like 98% African-American. All the black women in there gave a standing ovation to that part. It was awesome.
I just don't deal with my problems like that, and I don't like to see other people. I think it's obnoxious. If you don't want to be there, leave or get rid of him. You don't destroy people's property. That's an asshole move.
Yeah, I had, and I'm going to go ahead and vote Tool for that same reason.
Ooh, we're unanimous.
We are unanimous on that one.
We should write her a letter.
We should. I was doing afternoon radio in Derby, Vermont, and was it doing afternoon? Anyway, yeah, one of our midday guy, I got to work, and our midday guy wasn't there. My boss was actually doing the midday shift, and I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, Mike had to go. I'm like, all right. So I jumped on the board early and did my show, and it turns out, and it was a cold, rainy day, and this guy, Mike, had the worst luck in the world. Really nice guy. Terrible luck with a lot of different things. And this was just another example of it. He was living with this girl, and they lived about a 35-minute drive from work. And he got into work one day, and his shift was 10 until 2. And he got into work, and about 10:15, he gets a call, and it's pouring rain outside. And she's like, if you want your shit, you better come and get it because I'm throwing it all out on the lawn.
Nice.
So not only did she throw it out on the lawn, she throws it out on the lawn as he is starting his day of work. So he had to go to the boss and say, hey, my crazy girlfriend is throwing all my stuff out on the lawn and it's raining. And would it be okay if I left? So, yeah, it's...
I got locked out... And I was in a relationship living with someone. They locked me out of the house and held all my stuff for ransom.
But
wow, really?
That's crazy.
I've never had a bad breakup. I still keep in contact with anyone I've ever dated.
I've had some bad breakups. But what's really weird is, for me, a lot of the breakups are... the badness is just because you put so much of yourself into a relationship. And it's really how it ends as opposed to everything that went into it. But, you know, and Larry, I mean, being a gay man, the relationship structure is probably a little different than...
I'm nervous where this is going.
No, than dealing with women, because you've got two guys that are coming together for a relationship.
Have you met gay men?
Well, I have, but I haven't dated any.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, the whole notion of, it's two dudes is right in some ways, but, oh, Lord, if you want to hear drama stories about breakups, lesbians have nothing on gay men. And I don't really do drama in relationships, so like, and all my breakups, I think, have all been like situational. Deep thoughts. I'll have to think over that. But yeah, I still keep in contact with a lot of people who I've ever seriously dated.
I don't. I have a belief that if I'm If I don't need you to be in a relationship with me, I've got enough friends. Why would I still need you as a friend?
Oh no!
And I just
I
move
feel like
on.
The opposite.
I just move on.
Like if you mean a lot to me, I need you in my life still.
Well, there's two sides of the coin. I think I'm somewhere in the middle. But once you go through a divorce, your whole perspective on things changes. And especially when you go through two.
Way to throw in my face that you can get married and I can't.
Well, you can get married in certain states, Larry.
Iowa.
You can, Vermont.
Thanks.
Go
New
get
York.
Your hubby ice cream.
Yeah, Vermont, New York. That's what you
I
get.
Do like my hubby's chubby.
want to thank our sponsor, Huge Entertainment.
H-U-G.
They do DJing. They do lighting. They do a bunch of other stuff. You can like them on Facebook.
They will DJ at your same-sex wedding ceremony.
And they have. They in fact, did...
Rainbow Fest.
Rainbow Fest in Sacramento.
Not a same-sex marriage, but...
With this very equipment. This very equipment.
This equipment is vicarious now.
It is. It's very vicarious. So contact them. Like them on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, too. We
remember,
need
if we get 200 people, I'm donating $100 to Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, so you can help the poor and unfortunate. Or if you're an angry, bitter Republican guy, you can get a family off the street so that they won't be begging you for money anymore and bugging you.
Conservatives fund Habitat for Humanity, way numbers and progressives.
Good.
True story.
That's excellent news. All right, we're going to wrap this up really quick. What's pissing me off this week? I know you're waiting for it with bated breath. It's people who are oblivious to the world around them. And I'm not exactly. And I'm not talking about the people who are in their phones all the time, although they're kind of irritating too.
Oh, I feel like that's a smack at me.
Not really. I'm more talking about the people that are driving around with no fucking clue as to what's going on. And this happened to me this past week, and I was just like, really, mother, get out of the fucking way. They're just driving around sort of like a tourist, except we're not in a touristy neighborhood at all.
Or just randomly braking in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, randomly braking, stopping in the middle of a block.
People feel the need to slow down before they turn. Not like reduce your speed, but slow, like stop before you turn.
Yeah, the people in this godforsaken cow town, by God. Anyway, the people in Sacramento, it happens in a lot of places. But the people here, that's another point that you brought up, the turning, which pisses me off. If you're making a right turn, you don't need to take the turn at 50, but you also don't need to slow down to 2 miles an hour.
Or 2.3 miles an hour, which happened last week to me.
There you go. You can take the curve at about 15. You'll be perfectly safe. You'll be fine taking the curve at 15 miles an hour, and you'll feel better about it because I won't be behind you cursing you out to the high heavens.
How about the people when they're walking in front of you and then just stop?
Oh, God.
Oh, you mean, yeah, I get that a lot between here and work. There's a lot of the permanent campers, as I like to call them, or hobos of Sacramento, and they really have no reason. They've got nowhere to go, really, so they have no problem taking their time going across the road in front of you. But my big thing is the people that are driving and just sort of looking around, and they stop in random places for no reason. They pull over a little bit, but not really enough to let you by. And then you're like, are they going to park there? Are they going to pull into that spot? Nope, they're going to go.
They're deciding. But do you know what annoys me more than that? Well, I hate cars that don't stop for walkers because we live in a like where we live is very walking. Like it's downtown, so like
high pedestrian traffic.
Thank you. Do you know what annoys me more than cars that don't stop for walkers? Walkers who refuse to harness their power and cross the fucking street. Because like I'm with people that just stand on the corner, annoy the fuck out. Especially if it's in a crosswalk. You have the right to walk and cars will stop for you. If you just stand there and look like a sheep, what happens inevitably is one car will stop and the others don't. And I'm like, cross, you bitch. Like,
yeah,
if you're afraid of walking, you should not walk. And more importantly, oh my God, people on the highway, if you're afraid of driving on the highway, do not drive on the highway. Using some Freakonomics principles, one of the largest indicators of being in an accident on a highway is time spent on highways. So if you drive slow, you're actually increasing your risk for an accident.
I don't know what happened, but what's pissing me off turned into what's pissing all of us
off
this week.
You tapped into something.
Yeah. I know. It's awesome, isn't it? We can all be pissed off together.
Hey, don't drive in San Jose.
Before we go, remind people that if you have a question you'd like us to answer, email us.
Email us at natedarlingshow@rocketmail.com.
Rocket Mail.
Like us on Facebook. Enjoy the show. Write a nice review for us on iTunes. Tell your friends. Send us gifts if you'd like. We'll take anything.
Beef jerky.
Oh, beef jerky sounds good. Anyway, that's going to wrap up this edition, episode 13, Baker's Dozen of the Nate Darling Show. For my friend Larry.
Au revoir.
And my friend Mel.
Shalom.
I am Nate. You have a good one. We'll see you next time.